But first, the summary by Yvonne. The Ministry of Roads and Highways and other ministries have been directed to stop adding the procurement of vehicles, furniture and other goods to the construction cost of roads and other national projects, in the view of the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Kweku Ajimamenu. This will help check the overinflation of the cost of projects. Mr. Ajimamenu made this known when the Minister of Roads and Highways, Alhaji Yusuf Seni, and some directors from the ministry appeared before the Public Accounts Committee. Government has recruited 1,347 environmental health officers and assistants from the three tertiary institutions in the country onto the National Youth Employment Agency. This was announced at a meeting between the unemployed graduates, the Ministries of Employment and Labour Relations, and Local Government and Rural Development in Accra. A gender-based civil society organization, NOSAC, has helped in uncovering a Nigerian human trafficking ring in Tamale. Two of the three young women arrested are Nigerians, while the third is a Ghanaian. Three suspects are currently in police custody, while the main suspect, Uche Babs, remains at large. South Sudan's rebel leader Riek Machar has returned to the country for the first time in more than 2 years as part of a peace deal. His spokesman says Mr. Machar is now in the rebel military headquarters in the eastern town of Pagak. He is expected in the capital Juba next week to resume the post of vice president as part of last year's deal. And the remains of MPP former chairman Jacob Echebilamte has been flown home from the United Kingdom. Party stalwarts, including former President Kufo and former Minister of State Hakman Owusu Ajiman, were at the Kotoka International Airport to receive the remains.
TBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news in detail. The chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Kweku Ajimamenu, has entreated the Ministry of Roads and Highways and other ministries to stop adding the procurement of vehicles, furniture and other goods to the construction cost of roads and other national projects to avoid inflating the cost of projects. He wondered why ministries procure vehicles for monitoring and inspection purposes for every project they undertake. The practice, he observed, does not help in ensuring proper management and accounting purposes, as well as value for money. Mr. Ajimamenu said this when the Minister of Roads and Highways, Alhaji Yusuf Seni, and some directors from the ministry appeared before the Public Accounts Committee to respond to queries in the Auditor General's report for 2011, 2013, and 2012. Here is an exchange between the minister and the chairman of the committee on the procurement of vehicles for monitoring road project.
For management accounting people, you desist from adding office refurbishment, vehicles, several other things into contract. So it doesn't let you get the real true cost of project. That is our thing.
So, Chairman, yes, you are right. But when the item is necessary to the execution of the project, it becomes part of the project.
When the project completes,
it becomes part of the assets of the Ministry of
Roads. Why doesn't the ministry treat it as an asset of the ministry to do your work?
It is always treated as an asset.
But no,
I agree with you that when the item is not necessary to the execution of the project, then you need not put it in the general item. But if you need a vehicle to monitor the implementation of the contract, the project, that vehicle is necessary tangential to the execution of the project.
Minister, let me tell you, any asset that is used over a longer period cannot be charged to 1 year's account. So if you're buying a vehicle whose life will go beyond a particular project, you don't charge the whole cost to one particular project.
So if the vehicle will move beyond 5 years,
I'll finish. The vehicle will go beyond 5 years. The contract, let me say, maximum 36 months. So beyond the contract, you're going to use that vehicle for other contracts. So why do you charge it to one particular contract? That is my deal. And I told you that it distorts project costs. There's civil engineering work that are contained in that particular project. You put a vehicle which is not part of the cost of the contract. The ministry should prepare itself. You will know that all projects are to be monitored. So find a budget to buy your vehicle for monitoring. Therefore, all other projects will benefit from that pool of your monitoring vehicle. So every single project, you buy vehicles. How many vehicles did you buy for the circle interchange? How many are you going to buy for the Kasua interchange? How many are you going to buy for all the roads the president is doing? So you end up buying more vehicles than even your ministry needs. And we want you to desist from this, which is a loophole. You see, Parliament is not sleeping as others think. We are working towards what the ministries do. And this is an area we want to advise that we should try to desist from this area.
So if Parliament should decide that vehicles for project implementation must not be purchased from the project, so be it.
You have the Minister of Roads and Highways, Alhaji Innocent Ofisemi, and the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Kukwajima Emenu, in that exchange at the Public Accounts Committee sitting in Parliament.
The Auditor General continues to express concern about the constant breaches in the Financial Administration Regulation and the Procurement Act by ministries, departments and agencies, MDAs. The Auditor General, in a committee letter to Parliament, lamented the violations of the financial rules by state agencies leading to financial loss to the state. The Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Kwekwajima Emenu, echoed the sentiment of the Auditor General's Department when he read a committee letter from the Auditor General to Parliament during the committee sitting yesterday. He urged heads of government institutions to strengthen their supervisory roles to ensure that the infractions are eliminated to enhance better management of state resources for the benefit of the people.
The Auditor General puts out frustration in the transmitter letter, and he talks this way, and I would like to quote from his letter to the Speaker. My report on MDAs for 2013 indicates continued infractions and financial indiscipline on the part of MDAs in acknowledging and observing legislative supremacy. Several irregularities have been highlighted in this report. The irregularities show the lack of probity and propriety, or the extent of non-compliance with or deviation from and disregard for the tenets of laws, rules and regulations designed to secure the conduct of government financial business in an orderly and legal manner, and as well preserve or improve the nation's wealth and resources. Upon hearing this, you will feel how the Auditor General feels. And these, I try to call Lamentations of the Auditor General, as is recorded in the Bible. Lamentations. He's not very happy. He's not satisfied. He doesn't seem to accept the type of things his people, his men find when they come auditing our books.
Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Kwekwajima Emenu, echoing the sentiments of the Auditor General captured in a letter to Parliament.
The debate on the passage of CI 91, which gives the opportunity for new voters to register in the impending limited registration exercise, rages on, with both the NDC and NPP holding divergent views. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, the MP for North Dai and member of the Constitutional, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Committee, George Lowe, said the new voters register is only an addition to the existing one. He explained that the new voters list, when compiled, will be fused with the old one.
In 1972, you remember that what we used in 2012, we had a new registration regime. This one, we are just saying that apart from the old register, which has been saved by the old law, we are having a limited registration for those who haven't had the opportunity to register, for those who have 10, 18, new people who are coming back. So we are doing a registration for them. When they finish, that registration is an addition, a register, to what we have already. These are new people coming on scene. It is not a separate register being created. It's an addition to what we already have. So it cannot be two registers.
You only see it as an addition to the one we already have.
Yes, it's an addition. All those whose names are in the old register, if they go out there today, they will see their name. You should also be mindful of the fact that the Electoral Commission itself has been given power by the Constitution to make regulations for the conduct of elections and, in fact, for registration purposes. It's in that vein that I believe the CI 91 was passed to replace CI 72. And that is it. We try to ask for a streamlined thing so that we are all on the same page in respect of the ruling of the Supreme Court and all other issues that have been raised, or many other issues that have been raised by stakeholders.
Can you tell us its significance to the November polls?
Significance is that it sets out how registration will be done and what goes into it, challenges and its attendance procedure. November.
Can you share with us some of the specifics, including
Generally, with the whole gamut of procedures for elections, it talks about who qualifies to register, it talks about what you need when you go there. You would notice that the CSN would have had the National Health Insurance card, for instance. It has been taken out. You are also mindful that CI 91 saves a lot of CI 70. In as much as he replaces, he saves some of the things that were in CI 70. It was just to streamline the law and then bring in the new things that as a result of the Supreme Court. There is nothing so significant or so much of a departure from the old system.
George Law is the MP for North Dai and member of the Constitutional, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Committee, but the MP for Siaing East and member of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee of Parliament, Kwesi Chireme, says CI-91 will rather result in multiple registrations and other problems with CI-73. This is because provisions in CI-91 are not foolproof. He therefore called on the EC, political parties and other stakeholders to be up to the task to ensure that they stay within the law.
A provision in CI-91 that says that if I am a new registrant and I don't have a valid passport, a driver's license, or a national ID card, or an old voter's ID card, then I would require somebody who is already registered, two people, to endorse or to witness my registration. And one person can guarantee up to five people. And people felt that maybe five is too much. It could be reduced to two or three. What came out of Parliament, what was passed, is five. But there are consequences. But if you guarantee for somebody who is not entitled to register, you commit an offense under the law and you may be punished accordingly.
I'm sure that provision is subject to abuse by political parties. One person guaranteeing for five people.
Even though it's problematic, we have to make do with it.
But is it the case that the CI-91 would resolve all the nitty-gritties regarding our voters' register?
No. It's one thing having the laws or having provisions in the law, and the other thing is compliance and enforcement. The provisions in CI-91 are not foolproof. We don't solve all our problems. The EC itself, the political parties, the individuals, the various institutions will have to be up and doing to ensure that we stay within the law.
Kwesi Chireme is the MP for Siaing East and member of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee of Parliament.
President John Mahama has inspected ongoing road works on the Odumasu Otepolu Road. The stretch has been asphalted and work is progressing. While on the way, the president made stops to address large enthusiastic crowds. He told the people of Parliament's approval of an electrification project, which will have some of the towns hooked onto the national grid.
This is what we call a whistle dump. I went to the palace, I greeted the chief, we continued to Akwamu, we came back to Asimpofu, and then we stopped here at Otepolu. I remember in 2012 during the campaign, I visited you, and when I came, the major issues were the road, Otepolu to Odumasi Road, and I made you a promise that if elected, we will work on the road. I passed on the road myself, and I can see the difference that has occurred on this all-important road. There was also a challenge of electrification. When the electrification of the eastern region was done, a lot of communities in Upper Manya were left out, Upper Yulong were left out. And so we promised that we will extend the rural electrification to cover those communities. We did a survey of those communities, and there are almost 172 of them. If you heard recently, we've approved the financing in Parliament, and so the contractors are ready to start the electrification of those communities, and so that is done. We also are working on the water project, and so very soon the regional minister will come with the water minister so that work can start on Humunya and the other communities that do not, Kuno, Pukuno, and the other communities that do not have water. Aside from that, we've done an irrigation project here at Konokre. It's for the farmers, and it's largely completed. And so very soon I'll be coming back so that we commission the irrigation project. And I'll also come so that we cut a sod for the start of the electrification project in the 172 communities. And so we have done a lot of work in 3.5 years. And I know that in November this year, all of us will make sure that we are registered to vote. There's a limited registration exercise coming up. And so let all the young people who have turned 18 and above, you know, when the voters register is open, let them go and write their names so that November 7th they can exercise their vote. And so I want to thank you. We'll continue to work with you. This is a tour of the Eastern Region. I did Western Region last week, and I'm touring the regions to see some of the work we're doing, see some of the work that is left to be done so that we can start planning for the next phase of the agenda for transformation. And so I thank you very much for the warm welcome you've
President John Mahama, as he ends his first day of activities in the Eastern region.
The 2016 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, will today deliver a speech on security, liberty and prosperity at this year's Ferdinand Eyi Memorial Lectures in Accra. This year's lecture commemorates the 10th anniversary of the death of Ferdinand Eyi, a member of the NPP.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Ministry of Roads and Highways asks to stop adding procurement of vehicles and other items to cost of road construction to avoid inflation. More than 1,000 environmental health officers and assistants recruited under National Youth Employment Agency. Nigeria Human Trafficking Syndicate arrested in Tamale. South Sudan rebel leader Riek Machar returns home. And body of late former MPP chairman Jake Obetebi Lamptey received in Accra. You can get through to the Radio Ghana newsroom on WhatsApp number 0560-266-551. We take a break.
The Media Foundation for West Africa, MFWA, has organized a stakeholders meeting in Accra to validate the instrument developed for the tracking and reporting of abusive campaign language on radio ahead of this year's election. The validation meeting was to afford opportunity to stakeholders to familiarize themselves with the instrument and make inputs to it. The executive director of the foundation, Suleiman Abraima, said the initiative is to promote decent language and issue-based campaigning for peaceful election. Amasewa Bidiako's report.
The meeting was also to review the Elections Communications Guide, ECG. The guide was developed to guide political actors and the media in using decent campaign language on radio in the upcoming elections. It focuses, among other things, particularly on program contents monitored, time of broadcast, name of radio stations and host of programs, main actors named in the program or discussion, and unsubstantiated allegations. The exercise is geared towards naming and shaming political parties and politicians who use abusive languages on air, as well as the radio station whose network is used to propagate indecent language. The executive director of the Media Foundation for West Africa, MFWA, Suleiman Abraima, said about 80 radio stations are expected to be monitored for hate speech during the project. He said reports will be issued fortnightly. He noted that about 80 monitors have been recruited in all 10 regions and monitoring will begin on Thursday the 14th of this month. The Dean of the School of Information and Communication Studies at the University of Ghana, Professor Audrey Ajepu, commended the MFWA for a valuable exercise.
Amasewa Bidiaku reporting.
The nominee for the Nkwanta South District Chief Executive Alfred Kofi Wunkanya has been approved by the Assembly. Mr. Wunkanya polled 34 out of 42 votes cast. The approval of the DCE is now a relief to the people who have been without a substantive DCE since the murder of the then Chief Executive Peter Kenyensu in 2014 by unknown assailants. Before his confirmation, the Volta Regional Minister Helen Itosu was the acting DCE. A minute silence was observed in honor of the late Peter Kenyensu.
1,347 environmental health officers and assistants from three tertiary institutions in the country have now been recruited onto the National Youth Employment Agency. This was the outcome of a meeting between the graduates, ministries of employment and labor relations, and local government and rural development in Accra. The officers will be engaged on a one-year renewable contract. A report by Clara Namlu.
The unemployed environmental health officers and assistants are graduates from the School of Hygiene at Kwalibuko and Tamale. They have been unemployed since 2012 and have petitioned the government on the issue. The Minister of Employment and Labor Relations said engaging them on the Youth Employment Agency program is part of government's effort to deal with the situation involving the School of Hygiene graduates.
Accordingly, they will be put under the employ of the Youth Employment Agency and be put on such allowance as determined by all of us. For our purposes, I've reminded them that this is not a wage employment. Therefore, government will pay 450 Ghana cedis allowance to each of the 1,347 people for the next 1 year, pending their final final financial clearance and pending their final question and absorption by the affected district assemblies.
Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu.
The Ministry of Health has started processes to engage registered retired midwives to augment the shortfall in health facilities nationwide. This follows 10 years of stoppage in the training of midwives at the maiden quarterly national council meeting of the National Association of Registered Midwives in Accra. The Minister of Health, Alex Segbefia, admitted that midwives save lives, and for Ghana to close a chapter on maternal and child mortality, the midwife must be well positioned and empowered to help achieve that goal. Rita Ampabintete was there.
The National Association of Registered Midwives Ghana was initially under the Ghana Registered Nurses Association, but is now independent. The breakaway became necessary because the registered midwives believe their needs, concerns, plights and interests were not properly catered for under the mother body. Now, midwives under the new association are in a position to initiate their own policies, incremental demands and manage their own affairs. One critical issue that ran through discussions at the forum was inadequate number of midwives serving at health centers. The situation puts pressure on the few in active service, making it impossible for them to give off their best. The Minister of Health, Alex Segbefia, said giving contracts to retired midwives may not be the best solution. He rather called on nursing colleges of education to train more midwives.
If someone is now due for retirement the next month or two, that person is an ongoing worker. So the criteria for actually giving the person a contract is less onerous than somebody who has sat at home for 3-4 years and is now coming back. Then the scrutiny of that person becomes a little bit more thorough. Contracts are a short-term fix. That cannot be the solution. The solution is in training more with midwives. The training schools are bottom heavy instead of top heavy. We need to change the dynamic so that the training schools begin to train more midwives.
Asked when the contract for retired midwives will kickstart, the health minister said committees are working in that light.
The view is that to stay within the civil service structure. In the civil service, you can have an extension of your contract for up to 5 years. And each contract should not extend more than 2 years. So if you retired 3 years ago and you are 63 now, technically you would have only a 2-year contract. They won't take you beyond the 65. And it will always also deal a lot with the fitness of the person.
The national president of the association, Ridwan Nahawa Amwakweje, was optimistic the group will succeed in its works. She said the midwife is considered irrelevant in the health sector and believes that perception will now be a thing of the past.
Rita Ampabintete reporting.
A Nigerian human trafficking ring has been uncovered in Tamale. Three women aged between 17 and 25 have been rescued. Two of the arrested are Nigerians, while the third is a Ghanaian. Three suspects are currently in police custody, while the main suspect, Uche Babs, remains at large. A gender-based civil society organization, NOSAC, helped in investigations and the rescue mission. A gender and governance officer at the organization, Kausada Abukari, told Radio Ghana that the suspects often lure young women into Tamale from Nigeria under the pretext of marriage, but are forced into prostitution on arrival. The three suspects in police custody are believed to be victims themselves, who have now graduated into self-styled madams, making of money from other victims.
The managing director of Hope Training Institute, Amos Kakari, has called on individuals and corporate organizations to help take children off the streets and support them in vocational and technical training to prevent them from engaging in social vices. He was speaking at this year's International Day for the Street Child in Accra. Mr. Kakari urged Ghanaians to work collectively to tackle the problem of streetism. Benjamin Edu has filed this report.
The Hope Training Institute started its operations in 2005 with the aim of offering free vocational and technical training for children and teenagers on the street. The institute offers training in catering, masonry, kente weaving, sewing and auto mechanics, speaking at the event dubbed Providing Meaningful Hope Beyond the Streets. The managing director of the institute, Amos Kakari, asked the world to do in society to engage street children in activities that will provide them sustainable source of income. He advised the public not to underestimate the potential of children on the street, because with the necessary support, they can play a meaningful role in building a better nation.
There is hope beyond the street. No matter where you started from, you can still make it in life. So regardless your background, they have something in you that can make you live above the situation that you live in.
That was Managing Director of Hope Training Institute, Amos Kakari, ending that report by Benjamin Edu.
Minister of Finance Tekle is leading a government delegation to the IMF World Bank spring meetings in Washington, D.C. The delegation is made up of officials from the Bank of Ghana, the chairman of the Finance Committee of Parliament, and officers from the Finance Ministry. Aside the statutory meetings with the IMF and the World Bank, the delegation will meet with the World Bank Vice President for Africa and IMF Deputy Managing Director. The delegation will attend the World Bank Group Africa Conference and also meet with the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for International Finance and Development.
The World Health Organization says 21 people have died in a yellow fever outbreak in the DR Congo. More than 150 people have been infected, and some of the cases have been linked to the recent outbreak in neighboring Angola. The yellow fever outbreak in Angola has killed more than 200 people.
South Sudan's rebel leader Riek Machar has returned to the country for the first time in more than 2 years as part of a peace deal. His spokesman said Mr. Machar is now at the rebel military headquarters in the eastern town of Pagak. He's expected in the capital Juba next week to resume the post of vice president as part of last year's deal. The deadly civil conflict erupted in 2013 after President Salva Kiir accused Mr. Machar of plotting a coup. Since then, thousands of people have died and more than 2 million displaced.
NPP bigwigs last night converged on the Kotoka International Airport to receive the remains of the party's late chairman, Jake Obetchebi Lamte, from the United Kingdom. Former President Kufuor, former Minister of State Hackman Owusu Ajiman, and other party stalwarts welcomed Jake's remains at a short ceremony at the airport. Family members and sympathizers were also at the airport. Jake Obetchebi Lamte died on March 20 this year in London, where he had been receiving medical care. He will be laid to rest on Friday, April 22 this year. Now to end the news, the main points again. The chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Kweku Ajiman Menu, has directed the Ministry of Roads and Highways and other ministries to stop adding the procurement of vehicles, furniture and other goods to the construction cost of roads and other national projects. He made this known when the sector minister and some directors appeared before the Public Accounts Committee. Government has recruited 1,347 environmental health officers and assistants from three tertiary institutions in the country onto the National Youth Employment Agency. A gender-based civil society organization, NOSAC, has helped in uncovering a Nigerian human trafficking ring in Tamale. South Sudan's rebel leader Riek Machar has returned to the country for the first time in more than 2 years as part of a peace deal. And the remains of NPP former chairman Jake Obetchebi Lamte has been flown home from the United Kingdom. The news was presented by Yvonne Atilego. And